Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gonna be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 54 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we are back to our normal formula. You know, news, FTC, Jax. Your surprise question, top five, and do we have a road story?
We might.
We possibly could. Just stay tuned. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, and now, of course, Snapchat, Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. That helps us out immensely. Dude, I was thinking about it. How cool would it be just to be nominated for just like a podcast award or something?
Oh, that'd be sweet. I bet you we'd win, too.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'd just be happy just to be nominated because usually they hold those in Vegas. How cool would it be to just go to Vegas?
Yeah, I'd want it in the form of a slammy, though, if we won a trophy of any kind. It would need to be in the form of a slammy.
That'd be cool if one of our listeners sent like one of those little toy slammies that come with the basics now.
I'm okay with that.
That's acceptable also.
Completely acceptable, yes.
You can email us any questions, comments, wishlists, fullyposable, WFP at gmail.com. And Scott, this week, I think I'm gonna rock your socks with this week.
Again?
Dude, I think I'm going for 2 weeks straight.
Let's hear it.
No wrestler database. This is all just off of memory. Here we go. Again, Scott, that's Fully Posable. W as in Willie Mack.
Oh, going indies. I like it.
F as in Robert Fuller.
Oh, wow. Very good. Or Colonel Robert Parker, if you will.
Thank you. And P as in Bruce Pritchard.
Good job this week, dude. You did, in fact, rock my socks.
Yes, the WFP survives another week.
Yeah, you're bringing it strong with WFP. Wishlist ate it, but WFP is still going strong.
Wishlist has been buried.
Yes.
At gmail.com. Scott, did you do any toy spotting this week?
No, unfortunately, I was kind of a homebody this weekend. It was really storming outside. So we really didn't do anything. No Walmart, no Target. I'm going to try to make it out to Target this week with the sale going around, the 40% off of basics and elites. Yep. Hopefully can make it out this week to see what I can score at Target. But as far as this past week, nothing to report. I had a pretty good week last week or the week before last, but nothing this past week.
Gotcha. I did do some toy spotting this past week with a sprained ankle, but I manned up.
You have a sprained ankle?
Yeah, dude. I have no idea what happened.
Did you kick some serious butt or what happened?
Dude, my foot was bothering me on Thursday night. I got home. I took off my sock and my ankle's all...
What? It just totally ballooned.
Yeah, dude. So I have no idea what has happened.
Did
a
cat sleep on your foot the wrong way or something?
No. Dogs don't sleep up on the bed. Cat didn't sleep at my foot. Nothing, dude. I have no idea what's going on.
That's insane. Like literally insane, like a mystery sprain.
Yeah, I have no idea. No clue. I didn't do anything at the gym. I don't know.
Oh, that's crazy.
I know, dude. It's like a mystery sprain. Yeah. So anyways, maybe Celeste got that hammer from that one movie.
Oh, Misery. Yes.
Yeah. While I was asleep and she clocked it. Maybe that happened, but you think that would wake me up or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd have an incredible pain tolerance if that did not wake you up. So I'd be pretty surprised if that's actually what it was, but... Wow, that's crazy. A mystery sprain. That doesn't happen often.
So Saturday, we went out for the editor's birthday. It was her birthday this past week. So we went out and did some shopping and got her some stuff. And while we were out, she said, let's do some toy spotting. So we started hitting up some Walmarts on our way back from Vacaville.
Any Warrior Taker yet?
No Warrior Taker. I did pick up another KO. And it's funny because on our Snapchat, I took down the basic KO and put up mini KO. it looked kind of funny doing it, but it's still awesome.
That's great. Gotta have one of those to open, man. I'm gonna be on the hunt for an extra one myself.
And so we did that on Saturday. Sunday, we didn't do anything. Monday, we did go to Target because that Cartwheel app dropped with the 40% off basics and everything.
Incredible deal.
Yeah. The only thing they had there was about, I would say, 11 Four Horsemen, one tugboat, some zombies, and belt buckles. And that was it.
When I picked up the Four Horsemen and Heenan Family sets the week before last, they had Tugboat, Braun Strowman. Actually, it was most of that Classic Superstar series. Or, I'm sorry, not Classic Superstars. Most of that Elite series. But no Sasha Banks, which is really the only one I was looking for.
Oh, that Braun Strowman's been hard to find, dude.
Yeah, but I'm really only getting figures I really want in my collection. And I'm not, Braun Strowman is impressive, but he's not a guy that I really want in the collection yet. That's just me personally. So I passed on him. They had him, Tugboat, I think Big E, and they had some zombies, and they had those little plush clips, like the Finn Balor that you got for Shannon.
Oh, yeah.
They had those. Oh, and they had the Tough Talkers and the Tough Talker ring. So they are having a better stock of WWE figures. They've really kind of hit the reset button on the Hall of Fame overstocks that we're used to there. And they're starting to bring it on their inventory, which is a good thing.
But you guys are having a better look up there than we are down here because we have nothing down here. In fact, I tweeted out a picture of our Walmart pegs in San Leandro. Dude, there's nothing on it. There was Bray Wyatt, I want to say from Elite 36, a Damian Mizdow. And one thing of Bushwhackers.
Oh, gosh.
That's it. Oh, and Tough Talkers were down below. That was it.
Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other thing. Thursday after work, drove over to Walmart, picked up the Earthquake from the TNF Elite.
Oh, nice.
That was the only thing they had there. I apologize. They had the Mizdow, Bray Wyatt, some Undertaker defining moments. And behind that was the Earthquake TNF Elite.
Oh, wow.
I picked that up. I scooped that up real quick.
Yeah, I'm tempted to pick up the Disasters when I see them, but that might be a set that I just open up.
It's pretty cool. They come with the tag tiles. Looks really good.
Nice. Oh, you know what? I take that back. I did do a touch of toy spotting. I checked our Big Lots here in Tracy, and all they had were those old gimmicky, they're almost like the grip and flip. That action, they were on like a cardboard, and they're a standalone figure. There's no plastic around them or anything. They're just on a card.
Some
gimmicky mechanism. I forget what even they're called, but they had all Sheamus and one Bray Wyatt basic. So our Big Lots is pathetic right now, but they're in between series. So I expect them to have a new series of Elites in here pretty soon for $10. Can't wait.
Scott, what do you say we get into that news?
Let's talk about it.
Scott, before we jump in the news, I forgot to tell you this. I'm actually wearing that KT tape that Cesaro wears.
Oh yeah,
on my ankle. After I sprained my ankle, I've been putting that on.
Oh,
so I'm walking around Vacaville and doing toy spotting with that stuff on, and I'm like, yes, I'm like Cesaro right now.
You fly around the store doing European uppercuts.
I started doing the Cesaro swing on the editor in the middle of Walmart. I was all, happy birthday, here's 10 revolutions. As I was walking around with the KT tape on, I was like, cool, I'm going to be ripped like Cesaro too. It hasn't happened.
I'm also going to grow 10 inches.
What?
Where'd you put that KT tape?
Oh, man, let's get into the news.
Back to you, Bill.
Scott, pictures of the Warrior and Taker did drop today on card. What did you think?
Hold on.
Let me rephrase. Pictures of the Warrior and Taker Hasbro were shown today on card. What did you think?
Anybody listening to our podcast knew immediately what you meant when you said Warrior and Taker on card. All of our listeners are extremely savvy. They knew exactly what you meant. My opinion hasn't changed. I still love them. I can't wait to find them. I can't wait to hold that Ultimate Warrior Hasbro in my hands like it's 1990 all over again. I literally cannot wait. So excited.
Me either. Dude, I think that Taker's probably going to be my favorite.
Oh, I'm going to have to really put him side by side.
Out of Series 1, I think that Taker's going to be my favorite.
Yeah, it is a really good Taker. I really like that Warrior 2. From what I understand, the arm tassels are removable on it. So in actuality, does that make the tassels the first accessory? Since it's removable?
Technicality, yes.
I think technically that would qualify as the first accessory.
Technically, yes, that would be an accessory.
Which is an interesting accessory to put on Warrior because I don't recall him really ever losing his tassels in a match. I mean, they would rip off sometimes, but like they were still around his bicep. It's kind of an interesting choice to make him removable, but whatever. It's still amazing. I can't wait to hold that figure. Like I want to hold it and see it and just admire it. I absolutely love that Warrior. So it's going to be hard to pick a favorite. I'm thinking Warrior is going to be my favorite. Undertaker, definitely a close second.
Yeah. I saw that Taker today and I was floored. I was like, oh, that is excellent.
Yeah.
That
he looks really amazing. Good. He looks amazing. I wish his hat was removable.
But if the original Hasbro hat wasn't removable.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But to do something a little bit different, it would have been a cool touch to have a removable hat. But really, when I'm complaining about a hat that's removable or not removable, it's probably a pretty good figure.
The Hall of Fame 4-pack with Eddie Guerrero, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Larry Zbysko actually hit shelves in Australia today.
I can't believe it. Jordan has been saying on Twitter that he expected it to release in the United States, and that kind of went against the grain with all the reports saying that it had been scrapped entirely. Man, if you're living in Australia, congratulations. That's an awesome pickup for you. I was going to pass on it anyways, to be 100% honest. That's not one that really appealed to me at all. I would prefer to have a Larry Zbysko single Hall of Fame figure. I really have no interest in Nash, Hall, and Eddie Guerrero in like jeans and a t-shirt. That action figure does not appeal to me. I like the ring gear figures better. But as far as collectability, these things, I would guess, are going to be pretty rare. So thumbs up, Australia, man. That's great. You guys got them. I hope they do come over here for the collectors over in the U.S. market.
I know some of our collectors on Twitter were receiving their Larry Zbysko that they were buying off eBay.
You mentioned that last week. Yeah.
Yeah. And I apologize. I'm drawing a blank on the name on Twitter. They sent over a picture. Oh, MS Aaron Quinn sent over a picture of the Larry Zbysko. And it looked awesome, dude. It's just black trunks, black boots, but it did capture Larry pretty well.
Yeah, and we haven't had a lot of Larry Zbysko figures, and that one looks really good, which disappoints me because we're not going to get him as a standalone Elite Hall of Fame.
Right, right.
So at some point, I'm going to probably have to pick up that figure loose.
I'm with you that Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Eddie Guerrero, the figures just looked mediocre. It didn't, from every picture that I saw, it didn't wow me.
Right. No, I'm in agreement with you. I mean, they look really good, I think. But just, again, I prefer figures in their ring gear, not like guys that are just coming down in their street clothes. That action figure does not appeal to me. That's just a personal taste. I've talked about that before with LJNs that wore shirts. Like that just that bothered me. That just I'm not a fan of the guys in their street clothes. I like the ring gear figures. That's why I would pass on the other three, but definitely we'll have to get that Larry at some point as a loose figure.
That would be a great piece to add to your collection too.
Yeah, and I've said it before. I would like to have a Larry Hall of Fame with the AWA title if they can do it, and a towel. And that would be perfect. Yeah. That'd be a great Larry figure.
There was another leaked list that dropped, and I'm not going to go over everything. Some notable things that were from it. An Elite Isaac Yankem.
Ugh. Some people are excited.
Yes, there are a lot of people actually excited.
I am not one of those people. I will admit, if I saw Hakushi on the list, I would have lost it. That would have been amazing. Isaac Yankem, who is from that same era, is the guy that got the nod instead. And Isaac Yankem was the biggest joke. To have an Isaac Yankem figure is just bizarre to me. Like he is in that really bad era, and you and I have discussed it on several podcasts of that kind of dead era where it was a million gimmicks they were just throwing against the wall to see what stuck. Isaac Yankem falls right under there of a gimmick thrown against the wall, and it did not stick, but he's getting an action figure. And kudos to the guys that are going to grab him. That's awesome. But I'm not one of those guys.
And it's an Elite, too. Is he going to come with like a drill or something, like a dentist drill? Or
What accessories do you put with the guy? The like the stethoscope thing that goes over his head with the big like I don't even like the drill. Yeah. Like what do you put with him? A Jerry Lawler? Like, I don't know.
That lab coat he used to wear.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, they are putting coats with guys, so that makes sense.
Ken Shamrock Elite too, which I thought was kind of...
Yes.
I thought was really, really cool.
Yes. I dig that. I'm excited to see what they do with that Ken Shamrock. I think it's going to look really good. My guess is they package him with the IC belt. And he'll be in that kind of 97, 98 Ken Shamrock, red trunks, red boots. I think it was black knee pads and the kick pads on the boots. Black fighting gloves. I think he's going to look awesome. I think that's going to be a kick butt figure.
Yeah, I do too. Some other things that I saw on that leak list, the Heart Foundation Battle Pack, which is cool.
That's very, very cool. Yeah, lots of good stuff coming out in 2017, aside from Isaac Yankum. It's going to be a good year for figures, dude.
would you rather have an elite Isaac Yankum or a zombie?
Oh, dude. Okay, I've got to go elite Isaac Yankum on that one.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one.
No zombies.
I still think the mutants are better than the zombies.
I agree with you. Those actually have a lot of character to them.
I mean, I'm not buying any. They're $13-14. I'd rather spend my money on the Mattel Hasbros.
Yeah, but I bet that there's a bunch of little kids that are having their zombies fight their mutants. And that's cool.
Total space war or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But their imagination's probably going crazy with those things. Young me would not have gotten down with that. But I respect the kids with the imaginations that are going crazy with those mutants and those zombies. Keep funding those figures, because those figures are paying for the Hasbro line to continue. So keep it up.
Yep. Scott, FTC news. What you got?
FTC this week revealed the head sculpt for Trevor Lee, who is coming out in their Rising Stars line. And he looked really, really good.
Yeah, he kind of had this snarl.
Yes.
And I thought that added character to the head sculpt.
Yes. FTC really has a good way of not putting out, no pun intended, a basic face. There's actually some expression. It gives the figure some extra character. And I'm a big fan of what they do, like AJ Styles, for example, with the screaming face, you know, or Jay Lethal with kind of that look in his eyes, that smirk on his face. It just adds an extra something to the figure that I really enjoy. And the Trevor Lee really, really looks good.
And on the pictures that they put together for his trunks and boots, he also had the man pelt.
Yes, he does have a man pelt, which I would guess is going to be very similar to the Joey Ryan man pelt.
Very similar.
Yes, and there's our Joey Ryan plug for the week.
And with that, I think we need to get into Jack's Classic.
Let's talk about him. I came to play. There's a price to pay.
Time for you to get down on your knees. Scott, we are back to Jack's Classic this week. What do you say we get into it?
Yes, sir. Jack's Classic Series 18 consisted of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he was in his black vest with the red writing. Sonny, who was in her LOD 2000 outfit. Honky Tonky Man, he was in his white outfit with the IC title. Classic. Val Venus with a towel. Jim Ross with his hat. Rikishi. King Mabel, and he came with a crown, obviously. Kane, who was in his WrestleMania 17 attire, and he was packaged with a fire extinguisher. Mae Young, who came with a hand. No, I'm just kidding. She came with a ring bell and a hammer. And the LJN love letter was Ric Flair.
This set was a miss for me.
Really? I kind of agree with you on that. I wasn't a huge fan of this series, but the Honky Tonky Man was excellent.
That and the Ric Flair LJN were the two figures that actually made this series somewhat respectable, or decent, I should say.
Were you a big fan of any of the guys on the list? I mean, aside from the obvious Austin and Honky Tonk Man, were you a big fan of anybody on this list?
Big fan? No.
See, I wasn't either.
Ric Flair.
Okay, so Ric Flair, but that you were going to buy that anyway because it's an LJN throwback. But, I mean, really, the standout names here, Kane, Honky Tonk Man, and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And you and I have never really been big Kane guys.
Right.
Except when you met him in New Orleans and had to go run up and take his picture like a couple of marks. But we were never big on Rikishi. We were never big on Mabel. Mae Young. Sonny in the LOD 2000. That was like a double miss for me. I was never really that big on Sonny. I always thought she was hot when I was in my 20s, but LOD 2000 was a huge miss for me. I hated LOD 2000, so I definitely was not getting that Sonny. Stone Cold, I already had a ton of his figures. Val Venus, I actually did buy that one and got it signed at Wrestle Reunion 11.
Oh, okay.
I did buy that figure just to get signed. Already had a Jim Ross. Rikishi, was never a huge fan of him, was never a huge fan of King Mabel. Never been a big Kane guy. So there weren't a lot of names on this list that I was going to run out and purchase. But like you, that Honky Tonk Man figure, to me, made the set and is my favorite figure out of the series.
It looked perfect. He had the white jumpsuit. Underneath, he had it on his blue tights, his Honky Tonky Man blue tights.
Yes.
And that was it for me. Like you said, we had so many Austin figures at the time. And Sonny, yeah, I saw that figure. But like you, that era Sonny was a miss for me.
Right. 100%. Well, we discussed it with the Jimmy Superfly figure last week in that Mattel Legends line that Jimmy Snuka is not an era of Snuka that I enjoyed, so I passed on the figure. Same with the Sunny. I mean, I probably would have passed on her even if she was in like her Body Donna's outfit, but the fact that she was in her LOD 2000, which is like a total miss for me, was definitely going to pass on that figure. And was it me, or did they make Rikishi extra fat in that figure?
So that was the other thing I was going to bring up. Jax, when they had to make bigger wrestlers, they made them extremely obese. Rikishi in this one, Typhoon in, I believe, Jax Classic Series 17, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was the one we discussed 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they packaged him with a cookie sheet of all things, remember? So insulting. Come on, man.
They really went extremely over the top with the bigger wrestlers.
Yes, and some of them deservedly so. Like Mabel, I think, deserved that mold. But, dude, not Rikishi. He was right, that big.
I agree with you 100%. I don't know. They just, with that mold of that type of wrestler, they just went over the top. Just like extra 50, 60 pounds.
Yeah, so thank you, Mattel, for getting that part right. That's excellent on your part, because Jack certainly missed on that. But yeah, my figure definitely out of this set that was my favorite was Honky Tonk Man. Absolutely. They seemed to get Honky Tonk Man right every time they made him.
What year did this series come out?
Gosh, Series 18, I'm thinking, was like 2008, 2009, somewhere in there. No, it would have been like 08.
Yeah, because they really started to speed up the Jax Classic. Like, it seemed like they would put out I felt like it was about one or two series. Three series a year, maybe?
Yeah, three or four, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, when we got to about series 18, 19, 20,
yes,
it was like left and right, here they come.
Yeah, they saw the license expiring, I think, and then just started firing off a bunch of guys. You know, get rid of those molds. If we've got a contract on a guy, just make a figure, just throw them out. But yeah, you're right. We were getting like one series every other month.
And the Ric Flair LJN, what I love about it, he's in his baby blue tights.
Yes.
Trunks.
Yes.
Sorry, trunks. He's in his baby blue trunks, and he's doing his strut.
Yes.
So
captures him perfect.
It captures him perfectly.
Yep. You get that kind of late 80s Ric Flair doing a strut. It looks great. I really do like that figure.
Scott, that rounds out Jax Classic Series 18. You know what time it is.
Vader time?
Not Vader time.
Miller time?
Not Miller time.
Hammer time.
I was waiting for that one. It is your surprise question time, so let's get into it.
All right.
Scott, before we get into your secret question, we received another top five from a gentleman named Seth Phelps from Hawaii.
Oh, nice. Lucky.
Yeah, I know. He's over on the islands, dude. He's hella lucky. Top five for Seth. Brett Hasbro. I'm not sure which one, if it was Silver Shades or if it was just one of the ones.
They're all awesome. Doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it's Brett. I'm cool. Warrior LJN.
Love it.
Yep. Owen Jacks BCA Series 2.
That is a good figure.
It's not bad. Second week in a row, we've had a BCA figure.
Which is interesting, but this one, I will vouch for that one, though. That is a good Owen Hart figure. I like it.
In that Series 2, that Warrior was really good, too.
Yes, agreed. He had the cloth tassels coming out of his arm. They were really good.
Yes. Seth TRU WrestleMania Elite.
Love that figure.
And Savage WrestleMania 7 Defining Moment.
Who can argue with those?
Can't. You really, really can't. Thank you, Seth from Hawaii. Scott.
Thank you, Seth.
Your surprise question.
Okay.
I don't think you'll be sweating too bad on this one. I think you're gonna have a good time with this one.
Oh, are we talking Hasbros?
No, not talking Hasbros.
Traitor.
So before I get this question started, you cannot say Hogan Defining Moment.
I can't.
You cannot say it.
Hogan Defining Moment. You can't tell me what to do.
Are you telling the Hogan Defining Moment not to tell you what to do?
Yes. I keep him on my shoulder all the time, like a pirate keeps a parrot. He's always whispering things in my ear.
He's like the good angel, and then like WCW Hogan is like the bad angel or something or a bad
right
devil.
But they alternate, like one's like say your prayers and the other one's like eat your vitamins.
So going into that, you cannot say the Hogan defining moment.
Fine.
Since today is Royal Rumble, Scott, what is your favorite figure of a wrestler that has won the Rumble outside of Hogan defining moment?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go Hogan defining moment.
Did you even listen to what I said before? I prefaced this so many times.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you say something about not saying something?
Did you say something about Hogan defining moment?
Okay, well, first, let's kind of recap Royal Rumble winners. We don't have to do all of them, but we have Batista, and we have John Cena. We have The Rock.
We have Jim Duggan.
We have Big John Studd.
We have Hogan,
which I can't say defining moments. Hogan.
We have Ric Flair.
Yes.
We have Yokozuna.
Yep.
We have a tie between Bret Hart and Lex Luger,
which I would be tempted to say the All-American Lex Luger Hasbro, but no Orange Card Series, unfortunately.
We had Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
Michaels was back-to-back years, wasn't he? 95, 96?
Yes.
Steve Austin.
Yep. And then him again.
Back-to-back years.
Yes.
Although I'm still pissed about that 97 one where he jumped back in and threw Bret out.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never saw that.
Let's move along. Vince McMahon.
Yes. Here's where it gets a little foggy.
Yeah. Okay, wait. 2000. I know somebody's at home right now going, oh, it's this person.
It's The Rock.
Yes.
Tossed Big Show.
Yep. 2001 was Triple H.
Yes, it was.
2002.
Wait, are you sure 2001 was Triple H? 2002 Triple H won. He came back from his quad injury.
That was 2002?
Yes, it was. Because that was WrestleMania 18 when he went on to face Jericho.
Man, who won 2001?
That would have been WrestleMania 17. So I believe that would have been Stone Cold Steve Austin, who went on to face The Rock.
You're right. Three-time winner.
Yep.
Yeah, this is where it's starting to get a little bit hazy. 2003?
Brock Lesnar.
2004, we will not say.
Yeah, I don't even know. I went to look it up, and there was no name there.
Yeah, the Royal Rumble never happened that year.
Right.
2005 was Batista.
Yes, that was the Batista and Cena screw up, right?
Yep. 2006 was Rey Mysterio.
Yes.
2007, Undertaker.
Yep.
2008.
Was that Undertaker?
Was that Undertaker again?
No, Undertaker won 2007.
2008 was Cena. No.
You're right.
No,
I think you're right, dude. I think that was Cena.
Yeah, it was Cena. 2009 was WrestleMania 25.
Wait, maybe 2009 was Cena when he came back from the injury and surprised everybody. Because 2010, Edge came back from injury, did the same thing, and he won.
Yeah.
But I mixed up on 08 and 09. Cena won one of those two.
2011 was...
That was Del Rio.
Del Rio.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget 2012. Man, it's funny. We remember everything way back in the 80s and the 90s, but we can't remember things that just... It's like we're about to have some Alzheimer's going on or something, dude.
Oh, man. I can't remember who won that one. Oh, Sheamus.
2012?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Sheamus won that. And then 2013 was John Cena, eliminated Ryback.
Yep. 2014 was Batista.
Batista.
And 2015 was Roman Reigns. Now that we just went Broadway, I'm trying to remember because there's no list in front.
Yeah, let's make sure people know we did not have a list for that one. We're mixed up on 08, 09, though. We haven't gotten that one locked in yet.
I want to say 08 was Cena.
Okay, but what year did he come back from the injury? Remember, he came back to the Royal Rumble and won it, and then Edge did the same thing.
You know, I think 2009 was Cena.
Okay, so 2009 would have been WrestleMania 25, right? And that's when he faced Big Show and Edge?
Yes.
In the Triple Threat? Yes. And then the year before that was Randy Orton and Triple H, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Cena and Randy Orton and Triple H in a Triple Threat.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That was the year before that.
Yes.
But who won that Rumble? It was Orton, wasn't it?
Man, I don't remember that. I think it was.
I think Orton won the Rumble.
Yeah. You know somebody's at home right now going, holy crap, just move on. It was Orton. It's like watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and you know the answer.
Yes. But see, we're better on like the older stuff.
Right.
And then we get a little foggy as like we kind of hit the 2000s. Like it was such a blur. Wait, did I have a question?
Oh, yeah. What is your favorite figure? Not saying Hogan defining moment.
Okay, well, Macho Man never won a Royal Rumble.
Correct.
He's always my failover. Like, okay, which is my favorite Macho? Okay, that. I'm not going to pick Hogan because I can't pick an alternate favorite Hogan figure.
Mm-hmm.
I do love me some Ric Flair.
Okay.
I do love me some Ric Flair. Favorite Ric Flair figure. Okay, so here's what I've got to do. I'm going to go with one of the two-time winners. I'm going to pick HBK, and I'm going to go with his deluxe classic that came with all of his titles that he won.
Okay.
That is my favorite figure of a Royal Rumble winner.
Nice. That's a good one.
And I talk about that figure all the time.
Now, here's your second part.
Oh, man. Dude, that was hard.
Least favorite figure of a Rumble winner.
Pick a Batista.
Blue-tista?
Blue-tista. There you go. Money. Done. Moving on. Happy toy hunting.
Dang, you answered that with authority, dude.
Yeah. I am not a Batista fan at all.
Not even in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Okay. In wrestling, I am not a Batista. No, I take that back. I did not like Batista when he was a face, but when he turned heel, and I'm talking about his original heel run, like back in like 2009, 2010, when he turned heel, that was his best work ever. He was such a good heel. He was that arrogant jerk, like that D-bag that you see at the gym with the popped collar on a pink polo shirt, no socks with his white tennis shoes. Like, he was that guy that you just love to hate. And the D-bag sunglasses, he was just the perfect schmarmy heel that I hated him and loved his work. So maybe I take that back. And maybe I go with a John Cena figure.
Ooh. There's a gazillion you can choose from.
Yeah. Nah, that's too easy. That's too easy. Man, my least favorite. Let me think. These are tough questions, dude.
I thought you were going to have fun with this one, too.
No, I mean, it's not that I'm not having fun with it. That's just,
it makes you think.
Oh, big time. Yeah, you try to pick a least favorite figure. I'm trying to think of some crappy ones that, like, of Batista or Roman Reigns.
So, to make it fair, I'll let you think about it a little bit. To make it fair, I will not say Brett with silver shades.
Oh, okay. So we're taking out your number one, too. That is fair. Good call.
Yes. So I have to think of my favorite figure from a winner.
Yes. And let's also keep in mind that you wrote this question like 2 weeks ago, and you've had plenty of time to peruse your folders in your brain.
That's a fact.
Heel.
I will say one of my favorite figures from a winner is Triple H from the WrestleMania 27 TRU exclusive.
Yes, that has long been one of your favorites.
I love that figure. One of my least favorite figures from a winner, throw a Del Rio basic or something. I don't know.
No, that's a good call. That's a good call. I was disappointed with that.
Throw a Sheamus basic or something. Yeah.
Okay, I've got my least favorite.
Go for it.
So your answer is a Del Rio or a Sheamus. Take your pick.
Oh, can I pick one more?
Of course you can.
Ric Flair, where he looked like Nick Carter from Toy Biz.
Oh, that's a good one, dude. That's a real good one, actually.
Actually, you know what? I just thought of that one, dude. In 2 weeks, I hadn't even thought of that one.
Well, actually, you could have gone Bret Hart in the pink stripe, or Bret Hart in the pinstripes.
Ooh.
From Toy Biz.
Ooh, good call. Good call.
You know, I'm going to go with one that shouldn't have been. I'm going to go the John Cena defining moments that just came out in the black jersey that should not have been a defining moments figure.
Ooh, the Word Life one or the Thug Life one? Or
only because that should not have been a defining moments figure.
Yeah.
That really shouldn't have been.
Good call, dude.
But see, we could run down the list here of like horrible figures of each guy that's won and then pick our least favorite out of all those. But that list would take way too long. I'm going to pick the John Cena just because that really should have not been a defining moments action figure.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Absolutely did not warrant anything with a defining moment.
You know, actually, one figure that we should say that, or I should say I like, and I know you do too, the Duggan with the American face paint on.
Yes, that's an excellent figure.
Excellent basic. A basic of all things too. I thought they did a great job, and he was the very first Rumble winner.
You know, the Hacksaw LJN is really good too.
Yeah, that is a good one.
They nailed that figure. I mean, for being LJN, and we've griped about a couple of their poses, That one had the arm cocked up to have the 2x4, and the other arm was in like a thumbs up. Like, talk about nailing somebody's pose, and it was also a playable pose.
Yep.
So that was a really good Duggan as well. So I guess those are my answers. The HBK Deluxe Classic with all of his belts, which I got signed in Atlanta, and the Cena Word Life defining moment that did not deserve to be a defining moment.
Good call, dude.
Thank you, sir.
Since Rumble's on the table right now, what are some of your favorite Rumble moments?
Man, you know, it's funny. Stephen J., one of our loyal listeners and fans, has been there from the beginning. The other night, put up his favorite Rumble match, and I agreed with him 100% because it's mine too. The Rockers versus the Orient Express.
You were watching that one the other day too.
I was literally watching it when Stephen J tweeted it.
Oh.
It was on my TV when I read his tweet. And I was like, dude, you got to be kidding me. I'm literally watching this match right now because I love it. That is one of my favorite Rumble matches. I'm going to go to Rumble 2007, Cena versus Umaga. That one's often overlooked, but that was a hard-hitting match.
Yeah, they laid it in stiff.
Yeah, it's probably not like Umaga has like a huge list of best matches, but I think that's Umaga's best match. One of Cena's better ones too. It was one of the more hardcore matches he fought in. One of my most memorable matches watching was a few years ago. I was actually watching with you and our good friend Randy, CM Punk versus The Rock.
Ooh, yeah.
And how angry we were when The Rock won. But nowhere near as angry as that dude in the video that like smashed his television and broke all of his DVDs and just went like BS crazy, dude. He lost his stuff. The Rumble match itself, you and I actually discussed this before we started recording tonight, was the 2007 Royal Rumble where Undertaker and Shawn Michaels were the last two remaining in the ring. That was such a huge moment with two legends. You could sense the crowd really getting into it, and I rented this pay-per-view, actually, and when I watched it the first time, when the crowd got into it, and then you realized who the last two guys were, and that one of them was actually going to win it, was just a great moment as a wrestling fan. So that was one of my favorite Rumble matches, was the 2007 Rumble.
The best thing about that was when they were just laying in the ring, because I think Taker threw someone out, or Michaels threw someone out, and they were just kind of laying there.
Right.
And they let the crowd soak it in that, holy crap, it's Undertaker and Michaels, the last two.
Yeah, all they had to do was lay there, and the crowd just picked it up.
The other one that I love is Royal Rumble 2005, when Batista and John Cena both fell out at the same time.
Yes.
It was a literal tie. Batista was supposed to win it.
Yes.
You can put that in stop motion, or you can pause it frame by frame. They hit at the same exact time. So when Vince ran down, that was all a shoot.
Yes.
He was legitimately heated.
I think that if they were going for a 94 repeat, like that was the plan, that they were going to go for a 94 repeat, they wouldn't have done it as well as they did by actually screwing up.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been able to pull that off that well.
Yeah. The biggest mistake actually turned out perfectly.
Yeah. And then Vince blew out his quads. Poor guy. Oh, what about the Rumble where one of the Bushwhackers ran in, swinging his arms? Earthquake grabbed him by the back of the head, threw him out, and he just kept swinging his arms and walking right back through the curtain. That'll always be one of my best Rumble moments.
Yeah. I talked about it when we were remembering 97, when Austin got thrown out by Brett and then came back in and threw everybody out.
I still don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember any of this. I just remember Austin winning. I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on, Ventura. You got to remember this. It was just on our TVs.
Win if you can, lose if you must, Monsoon. But always cheat.
Oh, man. I got to say, the Rumble is probably one of my favorite pay-per-views.
It is mine, too. It's that you think you know who's going to win, but there's like two or three other guys that also have a chance. I'm going to tell you, if we're to have this discussion next week, this Royal Rumble might be my favorite, because you look at the list of guys that are going to be in it. What a roster. I mean, this is one of the most stacked Rumbles that I can remember in recent history. The names that are going into this thing, and there's so many different guys that actually have a legitimate shot of winning. It's up in the air. I am not picking a winner because there's just too many guys that could actually win it. I mean, obviously you're not going to see anybody in like New Day or anything like that win it. You're not going to see like a Zack Ryder, or I'm sorry, he's injured, but like a Mojo Rawley, like somebody like that obviously isn't going to win. But I mean, a Brock Lesnar, a Goldberg, a Braun Strowman, you know, any of these guys have a legitimate chance to win it, and Undertaker could win it. It's just, and plus you have those surprise entrants, like who knows if Kurt Angle's going to show up? Who knows if Finn Balor's going to be in it? There are so many question marks. It's such a stacked card. Like, I am super excited about this Rumble.
I know, I am too. I actually have a few friends from around here that are going to the Rumble, and I'm like, oh, you guys are so lucky.
That's so awesome, dude. I mean, we always make it a point to try to go to WrestleMania every year. The Royal Rumble is becoming one of those events that maybe we consider going to that instead.
Yeah. The editor and I were talking about 1 year maybe flying over to Japan for Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, dude, that'd be crazy.
I don't know when that would ever happen, but we're kind of actually mulling around that idea.
That would be awesome.
It won't be for a few years because next year's New Orleans, so we're not skipping New Orleans again.
right. Yeah, that New Orleans next year is a definite.
I shouldn't say again. We went last time. We're not skipping New Orleans, period.
No, absolutely not. We're definitely in next year as well.
Scott, this week we are doing road stories. Scott, this week we are doing road stories. And which story are we going to tell this week?
This week, we are going to travel back to 2012 when we went to Wrestle Reunion number 6 in Los Angeles.
Yes, this was a fun, fun trip. I don't know which of the two, Wrestle Reunion 11 or 12, that I had the most fun at, but this one definitely lived up to my excitement when you told me that there was going to be another Wrestle Reunion in 2012. So I was already getting excited. And it lived up to it.
Yeah, and you were doing way better financially for this show. And I remember when we first started looking at it, PWG announced a Sunday afternoon show. And for $75, they gave you an admission into like a VIP where you could walk in and get a bunch of signatures from the PWG talent. The best part about it is they didn't only have PWG talent at this show. They also had Dragon Gate talent at this show. And they let you in like an hour and a half before the show was slated to start. And you got to meet almost all of the talent. They gave you a signed event poster from the show. And you got a front row ticket. And I think that was $75.
That is true.
And since you were doing better financially, you're like, dude, I'll just buy you your ticket and that'll be your birthday present. So you and I sat front row to the PWG show on Sunday. And it was awesome.
That was so much fun, dude.
That was a great show. Do you remember the main event?
It was, hold on. Kevin Owens, or Kevin Steen.
Yes.
Super Dragon.
Yes.
Oh, who was their partner?
Tozawa
versus Neville?
Yes.
Or Pac?
Yep, Pac.
El Generico.
Yes.
And who was the other person?
I don't remember his name.
Kensuke, was it Sasaki?
No, it was not Sasaki. It was something along those lines. I don't remember their partner's name, but those were the notables from the show, because what? Generico is now a WWE guy. Tozawa is now a WWE guy.
Whoa.
Okay. Supposedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, Generico is on the WWE roster. We have no confirmation of this, nor is there any proof, but allegedly, he's on the roster. Kevin Owens, Tozawa, Pac, who is now Neville, All those guys are on the WWE roster. So 4 out of the 6 guys in that match are now wrestling for WWE.
Yep.
That was a great show. It was a lot of fun.
And then also getting in early was pretty cool because you and I got that picture with Super Dragon and Kevin Steen.
Right when we walked in on that Sunday, we were one of the first people in line. And right when we first walked... Oh, you also got a free event DVD.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They had a whole table full of PWG DVDs and all you had to do is show your ticket and they just like, they randomly just picked up a DVD and handed it to you. Or if he accidentally grabbed two, he's like, which one do you want? And you just got to pick.
Right.
So I grabbed like, I think it was DDT 4 2009. Great show, by the way. Anyway, as soon as we walked in, Super Dragon and Kevin Steen were sitting right there. And so we got a picture taken with them. And I had bought the Fear PWG DVD, which the main event was a guerrilla warfare match with the Young Bucks versus Steen and Super Dragon. So I took the DVD in and I had Super Dragon and Kevin Owens or Kevin Steen sign it. We got our picture with them. And at the table right next to them, Young Bucks.
Yep.
And so the Young Bucks completed it. They signed the other part of the DVD. Just that was awesome. Just getting that DVD signed. And then we got a picture with the Young Bucks. Got a signature from Tozawa, Pac, El Generico. Just, it was so much fun getting pictures with these guys and meeting them. And we actually got to go to the Friday show this time. The year previous, we had to go for only Saturday and Sunday. But like I mentioned, you were doing better financially, so you were able to stretch it out, and we were able to go for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to this one.
What was the Friday show?
The Friday show was Dragon Gate.
That's right. Oh, is that where Sammy Callahan almost...
Sammy Callahan wrestled AR Fox.
Yeah.
And we thought for sure that he had killed him.
Yeah.
It was like a hardcore match. There were like no rules. And Sammy Callahan literally almost killed AR Fox. It was like a crazy power bomb off the top rope on a guardrail or something crazy. And like, dude, that was insane. We also got to see, I believe Ricochet was on that show. El Generico teamed with the Great Sasuke, and they wrestled the Young Bucks. And yep. El Generico pulled out his top rope brainbuster.
Yeah.
And that was the first and only time I've seen that move live.
And the crowd lost it.
Oh, dude, I lost it. You and I were like jumping up and down. We were going bonkers, dude. That was so crazy when he hit that move. That was a great match. Pac wrestled Tozawa.
Oh, that was a great match.
Yeah,
too.
I thought Pac had broken his ankle on that moonsault off the top rope to the outside. I thought he broke his ankle on that guardrail.
Because it whipped over the guardrail. Yes. And everybody was like,
yeah, he must have had some really good kick pads.
Everybody started panicking. They were like,
yeah.
And then he got up and he was like, he was kind of hobbling a little bit, but he was like, okay.
Yeah. And then he wrestled the rest of the weekend too, so he was good. Dragon Gate was Friday night. The Saturday night show was a bunch of the guys that were on the Super Ticket. So like the Steiner Brothers,
yep.
Vader, they had the mm-hmm. Gimmick Battle Royal. New Age Outlaws wrestled the Steiners. That was kind of neat.
Yep.
So it was a bunch of guys that were like, you know, it was kind of like an old-timer show, and they sprinkled in some of the newer guys. One of the newer guys, I don't know if you remember this, Adam Page.
Adam Page. Now, do you remember what happened? Because he was facing off against someone. And then all of a sudden, Vader's music hit.
Yes.
And I think Vader's music looped about three times before he finally walked out.
Yeah, I think somebody had to wake him up in the back or something.
And the funny thing was, Adam Page, and I forget who he was wrestling that night, were standing there for literally, what, five minutes, just waiting for Vader to walk out while his music's playing. And they're like, they're trying to pretend like they're fearing Vader walking out. Pretending for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. How long can you stand there in fear before you finally turn tail and run? Like, come on.
Then finally Vader comes walking out and did a couple Vader bombs, and that was
yeah it. He laid waste to the guys, and that was pretty much it. You know who I think Adam Page's partner opponent was that night? Was Andrew Everett. Andrew Everett. That was a fun show. It wasn't like an amazing Dragon Gate show like we had seen the previous night, but it was a fun show. And then, of course, Sunday afternoon was the PWG show, and that was a blast. But I do have here in front of me the Wrestler Reunion 6 autograph/photo op punch card. And basically the way they did this is they put all of the people that were on the VIP autograph photo op list right down the middle of this card. And on either side of their name, they have white boxes. And what they did basically is when you went up and got a photo op, they had a little hole puncher. They'd punch one of the sides for the photo op. And when you got the autograph, they punched the other side. So mine's completely punched, minus the New Age Outlaws and Rick Steiner and Scott Steiner. So when I see them, oh, and Maurice. So when I see those people, I'm going to take them this punch card and demand an autograph, even though technically I already got it and the guy forgot to punch it. But regardless, I will be taking them this card to get my autograph that supposedly I did not get. And as I'm turning it over, I see autographs from Carlos Colon, Nitro Girl Spice, Vader, Molly Holly, and Mikey Whipwreck. So here is the guest list from Wrestle Reunion 6, just so you guys have an idea of kind of who was on that Saturday show. Carlos Colon, Godfather, Great Sasuke, Harry Smith, Kevin Sullivan, Kevin Von Erich, Maurice, Mick Foley, Mikey Whipwreck, Molly Holly, the New Age Outlaws, Rick and Scott Steiner, Nitro Girl Spice, Tommy Dreamer, and Vader. And the way that they ran the lines there, basically Friday you went and did the check-in, much like Wrestle Reunion 11 or Wrestle Reunion 5. You checked in on Friday. They gave you your VIP punch card, any autograph tickets that you had purchased. And then Saturday is when all of the autographs were happening. And the way they ran it is they had all of the VIPs line up, and at the hotel, which is like the Marriott, I think, or something like that, or a...
It was like a Marriott or a
yeah, Hilton. Something. Yeah. It was actually a really nice hotel. We actually saw Mr. Belding in the bar I want to say it's Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, we were walking back from dinner, and we were going to the show.
Yes.
And all of a sudden we're walking through and there's Mr. Belding, and I'm like, "Hey, Mr. Belding," and he waved. I was like, "Oh man, that was cool."
Yeah, he didn't get mad at you for calling him Mr. Belding or anything. He was just like, "Yeah, that's me. What's up?" He was cool about it. So the way they did it is they had kind of like a little outdoor garden, like foyer type thing. Really nice looking. It had like brick laid on the ground and everything. It was really nice looking. And they had a bunch of little tables and all of the talent were sitting at the tables. And so you just went one by one and they had a handler there who would punch your ticket once you got your photo and your autograph. And it was great. I mean, you talked to Maurice about Patrick Waugh.
Yes.
The New Age Outlaws were cool. Tommy Dreamer was really cool. Mick Foley was awesome. He was telling stories. And in fact, you had the autograph story quite a few podcasts ago where you talked to him about when he hit Owen Hart, or when Owen Hart hit him with the bag of styrofoam peanuts.
Yeah. And it was a bag of popcorn.
Oh, a bag of popcorn. Yes.
He hit Owen with it and Owen sold it like, man, he got powerbombed on stairs or something.
Yeah. and it gathered quite a following there with Mick Foley telling that story.
That was the cool part because I asked him that question and he went into story time with Mick Foley.
Yes.
And all of a sudden everybody was single file waiting to get Foley's autograph. So as he's telling the story, the line kind of flops open.
Yeah.
And everybody's like around the table just listening to him tell the story.
Yeah. And you started that. That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin Von Erich, really kind of down to earth. Just a normal dude wearing like jeans and a button up shirt. Just
flip flops.
Yeah. He was wearing flip flops. Yeah. Just kind of like just a really chill guy.
And the weather was perfect, too. It was like 75 Los Angeles weather.
Yes,
you know?
It was in Los Angeles, 75, middle to end of January. Go figure.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right?
Molly Holly, just sweet as could be.
Yeah, she was awesome. I hate to say this, but not many people were going up for her autograph, and she was just kind of sitting there out on the patio.
Yep.
She was just kind of sitting there, just looking around. And I think some people went up and just started talking to her, and she took the time to talk to him. There, she was really cool.
Yeah. And then I think after Maurice was D.H. Smith and then Great Sasuke, I was wearing my Virgil FML shirt. And one of the handlers, and I think he was one of the handlers for Great Sasuke, kind of chuckled at my shirt. And he goes, "Hey, nice shirt." I go, "Yeah, isn't it awesome?" I go, "I'm going to head in and to get a picture with Virgil. And right after I'm done here, I'm going to go get Virgil's picture with me because I want him to be in the picture with the shirt." And I go, "I got it on barbershop window." And the guy goes, "Oh, that's cool. I run that."
Oh, that's right.
I looked at him like he was kidding. I'm like, "Wait, what?" And he goes, "Yeah, that's my place. I run barbershop window." And I was like, "You're kidding me." He goes, "No." I go, "Dude, I love your site. Your shirts are the best." And he and I just stood there and had a conversation.
I forgot all about that. That's right.
Yep. And so I believe the last ones in that kind of little roundabout there in the foyer were the Steiner brothers.
Yes.
So I got the Grip and Flip 2-pack signed by the Steiners.
Yes.
I think we either went to Virgil next or we ran the stuff back to the room and then went back down. Oh, we ran the stuff up to the room to drop it off. Because as we were leaving our room, do you remember what happened in the hallway?
Yeah, we saw Sammy Callahan.
And Ricochet.
And Ricochet, that's right, that's right.
Yes, and Sammy Callahan was wearing his beanie cap, and we told him how awesome his match was the previous night. I had no idea who Sammy Callahan was before that match, dude, and ever since then, I've been a big fan of his.
Yeah.
He put on some killer matches.
I think some people were walking around the next day asking if A.R. Fox was okay.
Yeah, is he dead? That was nuts.
One of the other things, actually, is when we were taking the elevator back down to the main lobby, elevator door swung open, and a lady swung her head out, and she goes, "Holy crap, it's Mike Tyson."
Yep.
And we kind of tried poking our head around, but we couldn't see. And she goes, "Mike." And you could hear Mike in the back go, "Hello," or whatever his voice is. And I'm like,
"Yeah,
I'm almost positive that was Mike Tyson."
Yeah, there was no doubt that that was Mike Tyson.
Yes. Voice recognition was complete right there, dude.
Yes, exactly. Some other memorable things from that is Friday when we got there, they had a Q&A with the New Age Outlaws.
Yep.
That we got to take part in. Being VIP ticket holders, we were able to go to this stuff. That was Friday. They had a Q&A with the New Age Outlaws. And there was some guy named Hollywood Keith there that was asking a bunch of questions.
Yeah, that guy was weird.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to Hollywood Keith. I miss him. And then later that night, or later that day, we got to go see Colt Cabana do a live Art of Wrestling with Mikey Whipwreck, who was telling Terry Funk stories.
Oh, that was so funny.
Oh, it was great. It was a lot of fun. He had some great stories, and I think it was Colt's first time doing a live audience Art of Wrestling podcast.
I think it was. If you go back, you'd have to go back into Cabana's archives.
2012, yeah.
2012. He had Mikey Whipwreck, and I forget who else he had up. It was Mikey and someone else. Wasn't someone else up with them too?
I think he did have two people up there. I just remember Mikey Whipwreck. I think he was like the main guest.
Yeah. And then Mike Leno was talking. Do you remember that part? He was talking through the podcast. And Cabana and Whipwreck are like, "Hey, Mike, how you doing? We're not running a show or anything right here." And
that's right.
And Leno
yes.
kept talking to the person that he was talking to. And they're like, "Yeah, what are you talking about, man? Hey." And they stopped the show to talk to Mike Leno. Mike Leno is a popular photographer out here on the West Coast. Very popular wrestling photographer. Anyways, they were pissed that he kept interrupting the show, so they started playing along.
That was so funny. I forgot about that.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, so that was cool getting to see a live Art of Wrestling and be a part of it. Saturday night after the kind of the legend show, they did a $5 wrestling.
Him and Marty DeRosa.
Marty DeRosa, yes. They did a live $5 wrestling. And I don't recall having that much fun at anything that was kind of wrestling related.
Yeah.
Not an actual wrestling show. You and I laughed so hard at that thing. If you ever have a chance, just buy one of his $5 wrestlings. They are hilarious. It's like Mystery Science Theater. But instead of watching a movie, they're watching wrestling.
Right.
And adding commentary and ad-libbing through it. It's hilarious.
And then it was also at that one where Sunny got invited up to be part of the $5 wrestling. And then she takes her phone and proceeds to show the crowd. And you can actually buy the DVD, the $5 wrestling DVD. And it's on there. Not the picture, but she starts showing a picture of Jim the Anvil parts.
Yes. Don't buy the DVD just for that, though.
Yes.
I mean, unless you're into that sort of thing. I don't judge.
Unless you're really into Jim the Anvil Neidhart. They don't actually show the picture on the $5 wrestling, but you see Sonny on the $5 wrestling walking up and down, showing people in the crowd this photo of Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Yes. Allegedly, Sonny had a few things to drink.
Yes, allegedly.
And may or may not have been going into business for herself.
Which she did.
And trying to hijack and take over the show.
Allegedly, but that's exactly what happened.
It's exactly what happened.
It's on video. We don't have to say allegedly.
Right. Yeah, that's true. We have the video proof, Sonny. Let that be the only Sonny video that you purchased, by the way. It was so much fun going to that, and because it was pretty much a packed house.
Yep.
It was just great being amongst other wrestling fans, listening to Colt and Marty, who is a comedian, just crack joke after joke with wrestling on a tape. It was so much fun, and they were bringing miscellaneous people up to talk and just have fun at the show. We had a blast at $5 Wrestling, and I think it started at like 11 or 11:30. It didn't get out until like 1:30 or 2 in the morning, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
One thing I did want to point out about Wrestle Reunion 6, this is the first time that we actually got to meet Kevin Steen. So the way that we met Kevin Steen is I had purchased some shirts from him, and the size that I ordered, he sent the wrong size. I ordered like an XL, and he sent an extra small. So I sent him an email and I said, "Hey, I'm sorry to bug you, Mr. Steen." I said, "But I had ordered an extra large and you sent me an extra small." And dude, he was so apologetic. And he was like, "You know what? Don't even send it back. I don't want it. Just keep it and use it as a tiny blanket," which I thought was hilarious. And he goes, "You know, I'd like to do an exchange and get you what you need." And I knew he was already going to be at Wrestle Reunion. And I said, "Hey, on the off chance," I said, "I'm going to be at Wrestle Reunion." And he goes, "That works out perfect." He goes, "I'm going to have shirts on me anyway."
That's right.
"Just come see me at Wrestle Reunion and I'll swap out the shirt for you."
Yep.
And I'm like, "Dude, this is awesome. I need to go talk to Kevin Steen now because we have a business transaction to take care of." Like, this is my end to talk to Kevin Steen. Like, dude, I've been a Kevin Steen fan for a while. Not as long as you.
Right.
But for a while, I've been a fan. But this was my excuse to actually go talk to him. So we get there. This was Friday night. It was definitely before the Dragon Gate show.
It was Saturday afternoon. It was before the...
Oh, it was an afternoon.
Yeah, it was before the Legend show. We'd just gotten Godfather's autograph.
Oh, you're right. Yes,
and
that's right.
As we were starting to walk away, Kevin's walking right by us. And I go, Scott, there's Kevin Steen. And then you went up to him and said, hey, I'm Scott. I, you know, you sent the shirt, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Stay right here. I've got that stuff for you. And he went and got the stuff. Anyways, go for it.
Yeah. And so he went and got the correct shirt, brought it back. We made sure it was the right size and everything. And I go, Kevin, would you mind taking a picture? And he goes, yeah, of course. Get in here, guys. Let's take a picture. So I'm holding my camera and I'm looking around for somebody to take this picture. And I know we've told this story before, but it's hilarious. And I go, well, let me ask this guy. Well, superfan me does not realize that this guy that I'm about to ask to take a picture is Larry Zbysko. And Kevin goes, how about we don't ask Larry Zbysko to take a picture of us? And I look, so I snap out of being super fan me, and I look and I go, oh my gosh, I almost asked Larry Zbysko to take a picture of us with Kevin Steen. That would have been so bad.
And the funny thing is Larry turned around and he kind of held out his hand like, because you're all, hey, can you take a picture of us? And you handed the phone over, and Larry's like, and then that's when Kevin made that comment.
Oh my gosh, I was so embarrassed. I was like so in like super fan mode, like I need to get a picture with Kevin Steen. This is amazing. Our first time meeting him. And I asked Larry Zbysko to snap a picture. Like, yeah. Come on, dude. That was embarrassing. I have no shame apparently when I'm a super fan.
I wish, yeah. We'll get into our New Orleans road story.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I wish they would bring Wrestle Reunion back around, so
I do too, and I've emailed them several times, and unfortunately that ship has sailed. It's not going to happen anymore. I guess they took a bath on Wrestle Reunion 6. It was not profitable for them, and they're pretty much just not going to be doing them anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, Scott, that wraps up episode 54. Again, you can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. Again, you can email us any questions, comments, wishlist at FullyPosableWFP@gmail.com. And Scott, before we sign off, we actually got a question on our Gmail.
Oh, good. I like these.
Yeah. So one of the questions was that we received, I had a question. How do you guys handle figure storage? I hear you mention sometimes about your figures put away in plastic tote containers. I was wondering if you had any tips for storage of that sort, mainly storing mint on card or boxed figs once you run out of room. We all do, such as stacking them or vertically standing them up mint on card in the containers. Temperatures, love the show. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Zahn.
Yeah, well, he hit the nail right on the head. That's exactly how I do store my figures. I do put them in those Rubbermaid or, you know, there's a ton of them out there. Take your pick, any plastic tote, either with a snap-on lid or the kind of almost like the collapsible on itself lid closes in the middle. I prefer the snap-on lids myself. And as far as putting them in the container, it just depends on the card itself. Classic Superstars are a weird shape to the card.
Mm-hmm.
The Mattel Basics are a little bit easier to manage because it's a squared off plastic bubble and you can basically just interlock them and stack them up inside the tote. Classic Superstars are a little more difficult. They're weird to stand and you're going to have some wasted space in your tote. But yeah, you could just go purchase plastic totes, Home Depot, Walmart, whatever. The bigger the better, because you can just keep loading more figures up in there. One word of warning. Where I live, we have extreme hot and extreme cold. And out in my garage, that suffers both of those, extreme hot and extreme cold. And some of my older plastic totes are prone to break. So if you're going to stack them more than like 5 or 6 high, just keep an eye on them, because I have had in the past where, just because they are plastic and it's extreme hot and extreme cold, it gets brittle. And the weight of the totes themselves can actually crack the plastic. And I've had a few times where like either the bottom or the middle tote in the big stack of 5 or 6 tall breaks, and then you've got an avalanche. And at that point, you're just hoping that the lids stay tight and doesn't spread your figures all over the floor and scratch those cards up. So just something to keep an eye on when you're storing your figures in plastic totes in a garage.
Yeah, if you're also doing Jack's Classic Superstars, also be careful that star. If you're one of those people like us where you had to protect the star, make sure that star is protected up on top of the card.
Exactly.
I've got 4 rows in some smaller containers stacked high. They actually do pretty well, because where you're in extreme heat and extreme cold.
Yeah, you're better balanced over there.
It doesn't get too hot. It doesn't get too cold. out here, you can stack them as however many high. I think I'm up at about 6 high, and plus a bunch of small totes also.
Yep.
Also, just make sure you keep that Jax Classic Star protected and all your cards, stuff like that, protected.
Yeah, and try not to stack, you know, on the basics, for example, above the plastic bubble where you have that extra card top. You don't want to stack anything on top of that, because that can obviously bend the card. So you just got to be careful in the way you're putting them in there. Don't bend cards. And like Jeff mentioned on the Classic Superstars, just be careful with that star.
And also with
basics. Because that can decrease the value.
And also with basics, you can, the way the basics are, mm-hmm. you can kind of stack them on top of each other, facing each other. So like the wrestlers are facing each other.
Yeah.
So those are easier to stack. But the other ones, it's going to take a little finagling, but you can do it.
Yeah, and you will have wasted space, but in trying to retain the value of your Classic Superstars, it's totally worth it.
So we hope we answered your questions on ZHAN. I think that's on.
Sounds right.
So Scott, for episode 54, anything else?
Buy the shirt. Happy toy hunting.
You can buy the hashtag Fig Life t-shirt for $25 flat, large, extra large, 2XL. We do have hashtag Fig Life. Adios.